Sunday. We remember what is recorded in Acts of the Apostles in the very first chapter. Remember, Luke and Acts are like a prequel and a sequel all together, written by the same author to the same person. Theophilus might have been the most excellent person in government, might have been just a generic God lover, that's his name, Theophilus. The second, the sequel to Luke, chapter 1, the book of Acts. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, and Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. I think it's just the way of things that whenever children get in the car, and they're more than going just down the street or across town, they're in the car, they're on a trip, and it's not very long before they ask the age-old question, what is it?
Are we there?
Exactly. Are we there yet? Then next is going to be, well, how far is it? Then it's going to be, what time is it? How long will it take? I was never so happy when I was able to tell time. I can only be told, hey, it's going to be when the big hand gets on the 20, the 20 minutes after, on the 4. Yeah, we'll be there. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. When do we stop? I have to go to the bathroom. Are we there yet? Not yet. Now that was certainly true for me when I was a kid. I mean, I remember the trips that we took from our house in West Jackson to Vicksburg to visit my grandparents and my great-grandmother who was still living with them. There was just something about going to see Mimi and Tootsie and Popeye. It was just so exciting. We knew, the kids in the car, we knew that when we got to old Highway 80, between Bovina and Vicksburg, there's an old concrete highway, straight as a string. It had those expansion joints in it. And we knew. The rhythm told us we were almost there, and we could hardly stand it. Imagine the anticipation the disciples must have felt. For 3 years, they followed Jesus, mostly around Galilee. They heard him preach about a special time to come. He started out telling folks about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God was at hand. They listened to his stories about great banquets and mustard seeds and birds of the air and treasure buried in fields. They were with him when he went to Jerusalem for the last time, with crowds shouting, Hosanna, and waving palm branches. When they saw him get on a donkey, it must have occurred to them that Jesus was fulfilling an ancient prophecy announcing God's reign. It was a powerful sign
And they must have asked the question, at least to themselves, are we there yet? At the Last Supper, they took it as confirmation. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh boy, this is it. But instead of an inauguration, there was an execution. All the anticipation, all the expectation evaporated. Their hope for the restoration of Israel dashed. Then, on the third day, the resurrection. Jesus is alive. Hope is not lost. Surely the kingdom is on its way. As Jesus led them out of Jerusalem to Mount Olivet near Bethany, they were filled with anticipation again. Are we there yet? They spent 40 days with Jesus after he'd been raised from the dead. They must have remembered what had gone on when they were with him. Surely they understood that they were to be witnesses of all that Jesus taught and all that Jesus did. And Jesus continued to teach them everything written about him in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms. It all had to be fulfilled. His life and teaching about God's kingdom, his atoning death and liberating resurrection, the message of good news about the kingdom of God already being fulfilled in their midst through him. Are we there yet? It had been a long journey with Jesus. And with his risen presence, they felt the rhythm of expansion joints in the road. But surely the time had come for Jesus to restore the kingdom to Israel and to take David's throne to reign over the world forever. Well, there was no doubt about it. He was the Messiah. He was the one to make Israel great again. They knew that he was the one to return in power and might, just as he returned from death in the glory of the resurrection. It was time for kingdom come. All his parables about the kind of kingdom God had in mind may have come to them. They must have remembered the prayer that he taught them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the disciples were confused about that promise of coming. They wanted to know specifically when he would set up his kingly rule and to rule the world on behalf of Israel. So he told them, now it's not for you to know the time or the timing that the Father has set by his own authority. Yeah, but isn't it time? Not yet. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Already? Not yet. And you will be my witnesses from here to the ends of the earth. But when, Lord? He gave them the when. But it wasn't quite the when they wanted. See, it wasn't about figuring out a timetable for regime change or making out a schedule for redecorating the throne room. It was about their witnessing to the present reality of his reign in their lives and to testify to God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I'm sort of surprised that the disciples didn't remember what Jesus told the Pharisees when they asked about when God's kingdom was coming. And he said, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is upon you. It's within you. Because whenever and wherever God's will is done, that is where kingdom is happening. save humanity was already a reality in Jesus Christ. And it's God's will to have that good news spread over all the world. God's kingdom come is already. And not yet. For centuries, Christians have looked forward to Christ's future coming in glory. But his coming isn't supposed to be our primary concern. Ours is to do his will and to witness to others about God's love shown to us in Jesus. Not to preoccupy ourselves, as some evidently do, about when it's supposed to happen. We affirm the fact that he will because he said he would. And while we wait on his return, we live somewhere between the there yet and the not quite, finding ourselves now on God's highway of history, feeling the rhythm of the signs of his coming on the final leg of our journey, located between the already and the not yet. Jesus has started us on our way by inaugurating God's reign in those who accept his lordship. See, that's the already. At the same time, on this side of heaven anyway, we live in the not yet. We're still waiting to arrive at our destination, the final consummation of God's purpose for history, where God's reign is complete, supreme, over everyone and everything. And while Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, waiting to judge the living and the dead, we have the divine presence with us. The Holy Spirit, who directed his life. The Holy Spirit, who empowered the ministry of the apostles. The Holy Spirit, who motivated the life of the early church. God's Spirit helps us remember the story of how God reconciled the world to himself by the body and blood of Jesus. We remember his teachings. And the Holy Spirit gives us the assurance of God's love for us now, that we can be witnesses for him now, that we are given the power to tell the story of Jesus to a world that desperately needs to hear about it now. We are there yet, already. We possess eternal life because his kingdom has begun. And the Holy Spirit gives us hope for the future, for the not yet. For that time when God's reign will be the same on earth as it is in heaven. So no need to worry about the future. No need to fear in the present. Because God has the future in his hands. I suppose that a lot of Christians maybe have looked up into the heavens and wondered about Christ's ascension, maybe worried about his return. I know that's true because, especially at times like this, when current events rattle us, when there's still wars and rumors of wars and such, and natural disasters, and all this comes together to pulsate like expansion joints on the old highway, makes us wonder, is this it? Are we there yet? And there are a few folks who spend a lot of time trying to figure out the schedule of when Jesus is going to come back, looking to determine a date to circle on the calendar for the end of time. But Jesus teaches us, and Christ's teaching on the matter assures us, that we don't need to spend a whole lot of time and energy on things like that. Instead, we're to concentrate on today. We're to look for the opportunities and response to the responsibilities of the faith for the present. The return of Christ is important. We affirm it every Sunday. Yet the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people is more important. It's an old story. Like an old rabbi's tale that might not be factual, but it conveys the truth just the same. Kind of like the parables of Jesus. After his ascension, Jesus looked up and went into the gates of heaven, and he arrived there in heaven, and he was met by all the heavenly hosts who welcomed him home and celebrated the fact that he had come back. Everyone questioned him. They all wanted to know about things firsthand. They heard of his exploits. They wanted to hear everything from him. So Jesus told them about his preaching and his teaching and his healing. They laughed out loud when he told them of how he tied the Pharisees' arguments all up in knots. They wept when he described both the agony of the cross and the joy of the resurrection. One of them asked, "Lord, now that you aren't going to physically walk the earth, who's going to be there to share the good news?" "I have a plan," Christ said. "I've picked out 11 of my followers, my closest friends, and I've given them the responsibility of sharing the good news." "Wow," one angel said. "They must be some pretty incredible people and have great talents and stuff. Those 11, how wonderful." "Well, actually, not so much," Jesus said. "They're average Joes, just kind of ordinary. They're vain and sometimes foolish. One of them, their leader, denied me 3 times. But Lord, how can you be sure that they're going to get the job done?" And Jesus said, "To be perfectly honest, I can't be sure." "What do you mean you can't be sure, Lord? What if they fail? What's your backup plan? What's your plan B?" Christ said, "I don't have a backup plan. There is no plan B." Alexander Nunn put it this way: if Christ comes to rule in the hearts of people, it will be because we take him with us in the tractor behind the desk, when we're making a sale to a customer, or when we're driving on the road. And we are the church, the sign of God's kingdom, an example to the world of what's in store when the Father sends the Son again to reign. So we are the symbol of the future. We are the sign of kingdom come, here and now. We are, but not yet, already. And when you know where you're supposed to be going, when you know where you're going to end up, it makes our ride together a whole lot smoother. Amen. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And whatever we do, safely and no more than 10, 6 feet apart, maybe around the grill, maybe in a park, take just a time out to remember those who've given their lives so that we can have the kind of life that we have, who lay down their lives for their friends. And even though they didn't know, for us. Our closing hymn is "This Is My Song," kind of a prayer that we ought to pray on Memorial Day that will make lives lost in battle a thing of the past. Let us stand as we sing these verses together.